have time to share, otherwise we're going to run out of time altogether. I came this morning with something on my heart to share, and I just hope I can communicate it all right, so if you can help me with this. I heard someone recently say something about they had a message, but the emphasis was on mess rather than age, and I feel a bit like that. I've got a bit of a mess here, but hopefully with God's help it will all come together. Just something that the Lord's put on my heart anyway, and it was really the theme. I just felt prompted when last week when Matthew was sharing. I thought he shared really well, didn't you, just about where things were fight with the finances, because there was a real balance between the reality of the situation but also being in a place of faith, which is so important. And I just felt that the Holy Spirit stir within me this whole thing of, you know, that we need to learn as believers to live differently in Jesus. That, you know, in this age that we're living in this time that we're living in and all that's happening, we need to live differently in Jesus. And I was just interested in when Rupert brought that word this morning, that's really what came through in what he said. It's about Jesus is calling us to live differently. And it's something I think that he's speaking to us as his followers in this day and age, to live differently in him. And just to say where I want to go with this, so that we can get there hopefully together by about half past, just before half past, is I'd like us to pray into the situation as regards the financial situation, as regards the city and the nation as far as jobs and things. So that's what I'm trying to go to, okay? So we all know where we're going to, so if we meander a bit on the way, we'll get there, hopefully. You will all have seen lots of stuff in the media lately just about the financial situation. I mean, it's full of it, isn't it? All the problems with the banks, and, you know, another week after week there seems to be something worse happening in another place. The media is very good at stirring up sort of doomsday scenarios and end is nigh predictions. And the net result of that is that it spreads fear among people. And generally, round about us, there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of sense of, oh no, is it all going to fall apart? And I think actually it's a really good time for us to do a health check on where we find our security. Because actually, you know, if all you live for is for things like fame and riches and so forth, well, then when the banks are in trouble, and so, from that perspective, it isn't an easy time, and so no wonder people feel that. But actually, it's a good health check for us to look at and say, where, Lord, is my security? Where am I finding my peace and my supply in this time, when all that the world is able to say is help, fear, look what's happening, look. Isn't it awful? And, you know, people say that people talk themselves into recession, and quite often there are panic responses that make it worse. I heard someone say recently, the recession is a bad idea that people believe. I don't know, you know, I'm sure there are economic theories, and I'm sure there's a lot more complicated than that, but there is an aspect in which a sort of a machinery of fear develops, and of course the enemy loves to promote that, and that's what he's about. But we come from a different place, and we are called to live differently in Jesus. And I think this is an opportunity for us to rise into something that we've been called to as followers of Jesus, to live differently in this season. Now, in all that I'm saying this morning, obviously I feel that we should have a lot of understanding and compassion and concern for those who are struggling with their jobs or have lost their jobs, or, you know, if people are in a place of financial difficulty because of what's going on at the moment. Obviously, that's no way a condemnation or a reflection on them. We would, as believers, we would just put our arms around them and try and stand with one another and encourage one another. So the love of Jesus needs to be in all of this. But I believe that one thing I think the Lord would have us do during this season is in our minds, to do with our minds, our mindset, to be looking to Him as our resource, looking to Him as the one who is the source for all that we have and all that we need, and having our eyes fixed on Him as the source of our life. This is what He teaches us in the Bible. When we look through the Scriptures, we know they're the inspired word, the written word, but they're also the story of God's dealings with man. And we see, as we read through the Scriptures, we see just many, many accounts of people's lives. We see, on the one hand, we see the faithfulness of God and His grace and all the various attributes we know of El Shaddai, of the Almighty God. And on the other hand, we see what man is like. We see the selfishness and the inconsistency and the ups and downs of mankind. And the amazing thing about the Scriptures is that it has it all in there. You know, the accounts we read of people, even people like King David in the Old Testament that we, you know, that we read so much about and we hold in such high regard. And yet we have in there all his strengths and his weaknesses, his faults, the things he did wrong as well as the things he did right. And yet through it all, the faithfulness and the grace of God to continue to be the one who will provide and the one who will uphold him and the one who is there for him. God consistently presents himself as the one who supplies and provides for our needs. We know that one of the names of God is, you know, Jehovah Jireh. It comes from Genesis 22, verse 14, where he provided a ram for the sacrifice on Mount Moriah so that Isaac didn't have to be sacrificed when Abraham took Isaac up the mountain. He was the one who provided, and that was given as one of the names of God, a God who provides. And Jesus, in his teaching, always just stresses that we need to trust God. Let me just read a little bit from the Message version from the Sermon on the Mount. This is from chapter 6 of Matthew. It says, if you decide for God, living a life of God worship, it follows that you don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtimes or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There is far more to your life than the food you put in your stomach, more to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. Look at the birds, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, careless in the hand of God, and you count far more to him than birds. Bit further down. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wild flowers, most of which are never even seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, not to be so preoccupied with getting, so that you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over all these things, but you do know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Just a real teaching of a place of trust in the Father, trust in the Lord, who is a faithful God to us. Of that, that's usually translated, do not worry about your life. In the NIV, it says, do not worry about your life. Martin Lloyd-Jones says that it has the same meaning of don't be distracted by it. Don't be distracted by these things. It's used in Luke 10 of Martha about being distracted by it. It was something that was taking up her focus. It was just taking her focus away from the most important one, which was God, because of the worry of all the other stuff that needed to be done. And it's not that these things don't you know, don't have a place, and it's not that they're not important in some way, but they shouldn't distract us from the most important and for the reason that we're here on this earth. Paul, in the letters, picks up a similar theme in Philippians. He says in chapter 4, verse 6, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I think because of what we have in Christ, because of who we are when we know him and live in him, we can have a different perspective in times of crisis. We can live out of a place of confidence and trust, and we can come in a different spirit. We can live really counterculture, and that's what we're called to be at this time, counterculture. There's a little story in the Old Testament. If we go back into the book of Genesis and first chapter 26, do you want to turn with me to that? This just came back to me while Matthew was sharing last week, and I just think it's a story of someone living counterculture. It's actually a story of Isaac, and in chapter 26 we read about what happened when he moved to an area where there was famine. I'll just read down the first few verses. It says, "Now there was famine in the land, besides the earlier famine of Abraham's time. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. And the Lord appeared to Isaac and said, 'Don't go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you, and I will bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give these lands that I confirmed, and will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham.'" And we read he stayed in Gerar. And then a bit further down, actually, then in verse 12, we read this. "Isaac planted crops in that land, and in the same year reaped 100-fold, because the Lord blessed him." So here we have Isaac. He's in a place where there's a famine, and you know, famine comes in these countries because of drought, because there's no rain, and from time to time that happens out in the east there, around that part of the Middle East, and yet he had been told to stay by the Lord. He'd been told, "I want you to stay in this place where I've called you to be." Gerar is somewhere between Gaza and Beersheba, just sort of the northern Negev area of southern Israel today. And he could have gone off down to Egypt, where, you know, because of the Nile, there was always a plentiful supply of food by that region. But for him, he needed, out of obedience and faith, to stay where God said, "I want you to stay. I want you to run the course. I want you to hold on where I've told you to be." And it's interesting that his reaction, his response, is instead to plant crops in this time of famine, which is, in a sense, is like a crazy time to go planting when it's, you know, when there's famine around, it's dry. You know, it's not usually the time that people start to try and sow. But we read he did that, and he reaped 100-fold. And it's recorded for us there that the Lord blessed him, and he reaped 100-fold from what he sowed. And it spoke to me something about living differently, living not submerged by your circumstances, not overcome by the fact that it's a famine in the land, but actually living out of a place of a confidence in a God who is faithful to his word and to his covenant. And he was willing to live differently, not be at the mercy of his circumstance, but sowing when everybody else might just want to hoard, might want to just hold on to their seed, and, you know, just sort of think, well, we're gonna need to hang on to this in case in case of more difficulty to come. Maybe there's some areas that God at this time would challenge us and say, I just want you to sow into. I just want you to be one who's willing to sow, even when the economic climate is not particularly brilliant or when it appears that there's a famine around. Maybe I want you to sow. There's something about a heart of living generously, living abundantly, that flows out of that sense of knowing God. Something of living in that place that, you know, we live out of that confidence of who he is and who he is to us. You know, the name Isaac, actually, it means laughter. You remember that he came as, he was the child of the promise that was born to Abraham and Sarah. And there's something of this man, Isaac, who is here living in the good of that. You know, he's living that sense, that place of confidence, and that overflow of who God is. And he's seeing the blessing of that. I think the Lord wants us to live out of that place of trust in him. I'm not talking about being, you know, like an ostrich putting our head in the sand and just ignoring what's going on around. Nor am I talking about treating God like a slot machine where we pay something in and pull the lever just so that we will get something back. That's not what it's about. Rather, it's about approaching life with faith and a trust in God who cares for us at all times, who's never going to leave us, who's going to be there for us today and tomorrow and forever. He's always going to be the same. He is always going to be there for us. It's something about knowing his covenant promises. You know, this is the God who has said things like this in Psalm 37, that the days of the blameless are known to the Lord, and their inheritance will endure forever. In time of disaster, they will not wither. In times of famine, they will enjoy plenty. Or in Isaiah 65, verse 13 to 16, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My servants will eat, but you will go hungry. My servants will drink, but you will go thirsty. My servants will rejoice, but you will be put to shame. See, there's something there in the scriptures, as we look through the scriptures, where we see God is saying that actually for those who will reach out for it, there is something of my provision, there's something of my abundance that you can tap into, even in times of famine, even in times when things are hard. There is a place that you can go to in me, and you can draw on my resources. And we know that the resources of God can come in many different ways. That it doesn't, you know, we don't equate spirituality with necessarily money. That's not, the two don't equal the same things. God's resources can come in many ways, but there is a place of abundance in him. There's a place of something about well-being, of prosperity of soul, as the scriptures talk about. Something of a sense of well-being, of wholeness that he has for us, that's there at all times. And we have a choice in a season like this. You know, Isaac had a choice. Was he going to just go off down to Egypt and try and find an easy way out? Or was he just going to, you know, hoard his resources and try and sort of scrimp and save and live as if everything was black? Or was he actually going to step positively forward and actually sow, and therefore sow and reap in abundance? And we have a choice. Are we going to, at this season, are we going to choose to live in fear and just let the circumstances that we read in the media and all that's happening in the world around about us, are we going to let that shape our mindset and our thinking? Are we going to come under that? Or are we going to choose to live differently in Jesus? Is that going to be our mindset? The Lord has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. That's in Hebrews 13, verse 5. I will never leave you or forsake you. I'm told it's a triple negative that. Maybe Colin can put me right on that. And in the original language, it's like, I will never, ever, ever leave you, I believe, is the meaning in the original language there. But the Lord is really underlining that. I will never leave you or forsake you. Even though the future looks uncertain, even with things like work or finances, the future might look uncertain, He will still be there for us, unchanged. Even as He's there for us now, and even as He's caring for us now, He's not going away. He's there for us. There's a lovely little illustration of that in a book that's come out quite recently. How many of you read the book called The Shack? Any of you come across The Shack? Yeah, a good number of you. It's a bestseller. You'll find that in W.H. Smith on the bestseller rack. But it's a Christian novel. And it's a really interesting book, and it's not scripture, but it does have a lot to say to us and a lot of interesting insights. And I won't spoil the story by telling you all that's in it, but I'll just briefly explain so that I can read an extract. There's this guy called Mac, and a tragedy happens in his life. And the first part of the book is quite difficult because it actually goes into that tragedy, and it's quite hard to read the first few chapters. But then, through a series of circumstances, God leads him to a shack in the woods where he basically meets with the Trinity. He meets with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the book is really just worth reading for some lovely insights into the way the Trinity operates and just the way they interact with Mac, this guy, in the grief and in the difficulty that he's working through. But there's one lovely bit where, through the story, he spends time with all the different members of the Trinity, and they all just will take him off for a walk or spend time just relating to him. And there's one point where he's walking with Jesus, actually walking across the lake, across the water, as you do when you're with Jesus. But Jesus asks him some interesting questions, and this is how the conversation goes. "Where do you spend most of your time in your mind?" Jesus asked. Mac answered, "I suppose I would have to say I spend very little time in the present." And Jesus replied, "Not unlike most people. When I dwell with you, I do so in the present. Not in the past, although much can be remembered and learnt by looking back, but only for a visit, not for an extended stay. And for sure, I do not dwell in the future you visualize or imagine. Mac, do you realize that your imagination of the future, which is almost always dictated by fear of some kind, rarely, if ever, pictures me there with you?" I thought that was just a lovely little insight that, when we think of the future, we often let, something will worry us, and we'll have an image come into our mind. Something will worry us perhaps about, maybe about a job. Is our job secure? Are our savings secure in our bank? But when we worry about those things, when those things come into our mind, in that image, do we see Jesus with us there at that time? Usually not, if it's a worry. Usually we're there on our own with the world crashing down around about us. But actually, the Lord has said, "I will never leave you or forsake you. Never, ever, ever." So, He's here with us now. And tomorrow He'll be here with us then. But He is the eternal present. There's something about living in that place of the present, living with Him. He is now with us. He is the I Am, our source, our supply. And He will be with us, that eternal present one, whatever comes, whatever there is ahead. And we do know, God has said, that things will be shaken. We know that this world that we live in is going to be shaken. So, you know, if secretly we hope, you know, that the American dream is going to be the answer to everything, then I'm sorry, guys, that's not what the scriptures say. You know, there is going to be a shaking of what's on this earth. But he is never going to leave us. He, the one who is Jehovah Jireh, our provider, is with us at all times. And we can live in that present reality of knowing him in that way at all times. Now, just want to finish with another little image. What I've been trying to do is just share my heart about us living differently in this season. Showing that we belong to another kingdom. Being like those, as it says in Philippians 2, who shine like stars as we're out there in the darkness, that we shine as a light for the kingdom. And there's a little clip I saw on YouTube. Somebody showed me, if Simon is able to bring it up, which I just think captures something, the heart. It captures something of the feeling of what I'm trying to say this morning, if I can't express it so well in words. This is a picture of somebody riding a wave. It's called Billabong Odyssey. And in this, this guy rides this huge, massive wave. And it's a picture, you can take it two ways either. You can either take it as a picture of riding the waves of the Spirit, which is one good way to take it, just like in all that God is doing on the earth at the moment, like riding the wave of what he's doing. And that's one positive way to take it. But another way it might speak to us this morning is riding through the circumstances of life. And during this season of riding through it in the Lord. So it's only short. I just want you to watch this, if it will run okay, if we can put the lights down. And just see what the Lord says to you through it. Isn't that good, isn't it? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? There's something of being in a place in the Lord where we live out of that place of confidence in him. Like that guy on that surfboard, he had to have pretty, pretty good confidence to ride that wave. I believe it's something like 64-foot wave, the height of two houses or whatever. Just, that's what he's calling us to in this season. Now, I might play it again in a moment, but I just want us to take these last few moments and just pray. I don't know if the musicians want to come back in these last few minutes. Just want us just, you know, as we were praying earlier, we were just gathering around people to pray for healing. Just want us, if we can just pray something softly in the background. Just, If you know that, you know, if either your job is under specific threat at the moment, or you need a job, you don't have a job, you need a job, or perhaps you just really need a better job, just stand to your feet. If you're in that position, you just know that your job is absolutely on the line. Don't stand up, Rupert. Or perhaps you should. Okay, so those of you know that just you need a job, or your job you know is on the line with this crisis at the moment. Okay, then folks, just let's just pray. Stretch out a hand towards these people, or if you're near them, just put a hand on them. And if you feel you want to come and pray at the microphone, if you feel faith to come and do that, then come and just take the microphone and pray with me. Father, I just pray for those that are standing here now. And Lord, I pray for them in this season. I declare, Lord, that you are Jehovah Jireh. You are the one who knows our needs. You're the one who meets our need. And Lord, I declare, Father, that these are your children, that these are your sons and daughters. And Father, we just call on you now as our provider to supply for these, the job or the position they need, Lord, to provide, to meet their needs, to meet their commitments. We release to them, Lord, your favor today. And we pray, Father, would your hand be upon them? Would they know, Lord, that you are with them, the one who has promised never to leave, never to depart, never to go away? Father, just encourage them now. Just be a supplier, Lord, as you said you will. You're the one who supplies. Thank you. Thank you that you love to do that in abundance. Lord, when you turn water into wine, you don't just make a few cases of it. You make abundantly. Or when you feed the 5,000, you don't just make enough. You make plenty with extra left over. Lord, you're the God of a catch of fish that's so big that it's difficult to land it in the nets because it's just overflowing. That's you, Lord. That's what you're like. So we speak that for these people, Lord. God of provision and supply, we speak provision for them now. Thank you, Lord. Okay, if we can move on then. I just want us just to pray then for businesses in the city. Now, this will affect quite a lot of us. Any who work in businesses in the city, any who are involved in the world of commerce, just stand to your feet. I'm talking of businesses now rather than the service sector or education or home. But if you were in business in some way, just stand to your feet. Would somebody else like to come and pray something over the business sector in the city? I think we can pray and make a difference in our city. Yeah. Ian, that would be good. Just pray blessing on this.
Father, we thank you for the jobs we have, the employers we work for. We even thank you in these difficult circumstances because we can draw closer to you and trust in you even more. And Father, we just ask for your blessing on every one of us at this time who are in these businesses, that you would steady us, that we would draw closer to you right enough, that we would have the grace from you to shine like stars, as David has been saying, and that we would not only be steadied for our own sakes, Lord, but that we would be good steadiers of other people around us and encouragers of others. Father, I thank you for Sarah Dewar, known to some people here in HBOS, who is in her own way in HBOS a strong and a steady woman and is having an effect on people around her. Lord, may you grant to the people here the same serenity that you've granted to Sarah in these difficult times. May there be a supernatural, beautiful serenity about all the folk who are facing uncertainty at this point and who are your people. And may you use them, Lord, to bless, to steady, to bless, to encourage those around them. Father, this is a wonderful opportunity for your people to be shining like stars, to be the salt and light that you've called us to be. May you give us your grace. May you give us your empowering. May you give us your blessing. We ask all this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Amen. Now I want us to move to stand and pray for something else. I want us to perhaps all stand to our feet now and just let's just pray for the decision makers in our city. We can make a difference in Edinburgh. We can make a difference in our city. So let's just lift up our hearts and we just pray, Father, for the decision makers in Edinburgh and the Lothians. Lord, we pray for the city fathers, Lord. Pray for those, Lord, in the council. Lord, we ask for those who are chief executives or directors or managers, those, Lord, who are responsible for bringing work and employment into this region. Father, those who are entrepreneurs, those who are starting off in new businesses in this area. Father, we pray for those who make decisions even in Holyrood, in the government, just down the road from here. Father, we bring before you, Lord, the decision makers, those who are carrying the weight of that responsibility in our region and in our city. And we pray, Father, for wisdom and for grace for them in this season. And we pray the favor of God on our city. Lord, we ask that, Lord, you would bring prosperity into this city and bring jobs into this city. And we pray for Edinburgh, Lord. We lift her up before you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
The Lord just reminded me again that the motto of our city that's written in public buildings, in city chambers, in council offices, on headed note paper, all over the place, simple mottos taken from Psalm 127. It says, Nisi Dominus Frustra, unless the Lord in vain. That means, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain that build it. And Lord, we ask that you will take your people throughout the city, Lord, and you would cause us to be the salt and the light that the city needs in order to have the involvement of Christ in every area of life, in every place where you are, you can get in and make a difference. Will we be those people who make a difference in the places where we are? And for our brothers and sisters across the city, in all of the churches, in all of the places that name your name, Lord, may we be those who make a difference and who bring hope and who bring light and who can help the city to be built with the Lord, not without him, that its building might not be in vain but might be to your glory. In Jesus' name.
Just link the hand of someone nearby you if you're happy to do that. You don't have to do that, Rupert, wherever you are, do you? Just link the hand of someone else. Father, we just pray, Lord, a release of faith and grace to us in this season, Lord. As we go into this week, Lord, as we go into our workplaces, into our daily lives, Lord, whatever it is we do, we just pray a release of that grace. Come, Holy Spirit, just be poured out upon us this morning, that we might live differently. We might live differently, Lord, to those around us, that we might be like signs, like a star, like a light, that we might show forth, Lord, just something of Jesus and something, Lord, of the kingdom of God in all that we do this week and this coming season, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Thank you. Sorry we've gone over a bit longer. Thank you for being patient.